Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Hello and welcome to another episode of River Life's Going Deeper podcast. This is a continuing conversation about the deeper things of God. And we have a wonderful guest. But before we get there today, my name's Scott. And you're Joe.
I am Joe.
How are you going?
We are good.
You're good?
We are good as the hosts. We are wonderful.
You're speaking on behalf of me?
I am speaking on behalf of you.
You're actually correct.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here.
Who do we have today in the studio?
We have a special guest, a regular guest, but one of our favourites of all time, Senior Pastor John Robertson of River Life Baptist Church. Welcome to the podcast studio today.
Welcome, gentlemen. It is great to be with you. Thanks for calling me a guest. I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah,
it's been a while since we've had you on, actually. We've had a busy year. I actually counted up. We've had 17 guests.
We have had some awesome guests.
Wow.
Outside of River Life.
Who have we had? We had Heidi.
Oh, all sorts. Heidi Baker. We had Tom Jones way back in the year. Will Hart. We've had
even some of our guests from in-house too, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we've had a pile of them.
That's been awesome.
Yep.
Love hearing about what's happening in the family.
Yeah. We had some testimonies from people from our house through the Covenant series.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was awesome.
Dr. Lindsay Farrell has been on.
Yeah, been on a couple of times.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. Man. There's a couple of good episodes in there.
If this is your first time listening, go back, listen to some others. There's a whole pile there. 90-something episodes so far to date.
Wow.
So plenty to listen to.
And we are in our final episode for the year.
Isn't that crazy?
It has gone super fast.
So we're actually, we're going to take a break over the Christmas period. And so we thought we'd tie out the year by hearing a bit of John's heart and recapping a little bit of the year, but not going into heaps of details. But yeah, hearing about the year and possibly as well looking into 2020. That's insane, isn't it? 2020.
It's the future.
Whoa.
Yep.
Man alive. Well, John, what have been some highlights from this year?
Yeah, it's hard to try to wrap things up with highlights because it's weeks turn into months and months turn into this year that's gone so fast, but at the same
time, rolls around every week.
It does. Yeah. Yep. I think there's some definite standouts of different things that have happened. But if I could think about it this way, like we started the year with the intentionality that we felt like God was asking us to be unveiled, that we were to come to Him where God wants His glory on display in His people, and therefore we need this unveiled approach before Him as we follow Him, but then allowing this unveiled representation of His presence within our lives to shine to the world around us. And so I fondly look back at what's happened in the church and go, like people have got on that.
Yeah.
You know, this is happening in these different places, you know. And so there's a whole bunch of examples there that I think of that are really exciting. Even just you wind back even a week or so ago here, we had some, you know, things like Buckets of Joy where we just reached out to a whole community of people who really needed help at this Christmas season to be able to celebrate the true reason for it. And so we were able to jump in and support and help them. And, you know, prior to that, we'd had Buckets of Joy. And then prior to, you know, on the way through the seasons of the church, we had things like, you know, the Live to Love conference.
Yeah.
Richie Salsa just recently with us here that just ignited again, I think, this wonderful idea within our hearts that and our imaginations that say when God's truly present in your life and you are unveiled before Him, the promise of the scripture in 2 Corinthians that it would go from glory to glory, you just start to see it happen. Yeah. You just start to see people's lives awaken to the fact that Christ is in them to make them more like Him for His benefit, for His ultimate glory and for the you know, the restoration of this world and the people within it that He loves so
Come
much.
Come on,
you know?
So good.
I think one of the things that stood out for me this year is it's something we'd always talked about over a lot of years as we started to pursue God's presence, but there's that area that is kind of hard to talk about or hard to explain because it's just hard to pick off the written page of the scriptures, but the actual physical, tangible impact that God being welcome in a physical space actually has. Like we often talk about Him dwelling in our hearts. We ask His presence to come and we feel, you know, some kind of response to him. But John, you were telling me, even someone you were speaking to last weekend said that when they walked in, they just felt something different about this place. And we've heard that all year. Just there's actually a tangible impact of God being made welcome in a physical place.
Yeah. I think you get that, you know, it's what we would, you know, ask for the, you know, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, you know, that whole idea that his manifest presence amongst us, you know, and you know, the fruit of that is things that when people walk in who don't have a grid for it in Christianese is to be able to go, do you feel that? This feels really peaceful in this place. Or I feel more settled when I'm here. There's a deep sense of intrigue. One of the great stories just recently is we had a person with Down syndrome who was driving by regularly with their carer, and they just wanted to keep coming into the facility. And it wasn't until, you know, they'd kind of bug their carer enough to say, I really want to go there.
It's crazy.
That the carer brought them here, and they just, again, just didn't know why they felt compelled to come. But then when they came, just felt this incredible peace and the presence of God, you know. So
that's so cool. Similar story. There was a guy I met down at a cafe, and I was chatting to him, and he just kind of saw something, I think, I don't know, in what I was saying, or felt something in what I was saying. He just said, I don't even necessarily want prayer or ministry. Can I just come and sit in this thing that you're calling church?
Wow.
Can I just come and sit? And so a couple hours later, he rocked up, sat down in the foyer. This is on a work day. And and out of that, he came in, he received like peace that he felt. And then another staff member ended up praying for him anyway. So he got some, good wins there.
Yeah, so good.
I find it really interesting how stuff that, like, you know, behind the scenes, which I suppose a lot of listeners of the podcast wouldn't know, is that behind the scenes, we've been praying for a lot of years that this would happen, that you know, people would come, people would just come off the street, that people who are connected to River Life would go out and just share just the love and the goodness of God that they've experienced. And it's, you kind of get that point where you didn't realize that it's actually just happening all the time. You kind of hit that tipping point that I thought would be this big trumpet sound. And yes, we've broken through into this new space, but you kind of just sit back and upon reflection, you go, oh, wow, we've actually found a new expression, a deeper expression, a more powerful expression of what we've always desired. And it's just exciting.
Yeah, I think it just really reflects what's already happening. If listeners out there think, you know, well, what are they talking about? If you just think about it in your own walk with Jesus, as we grow as individuals, you look back over a certain season and periods of time, whether they be great periods of joy and celebration or even the difficult times and the struggles where we've had to really press in and rely heavily in faith on God and those sorts of things. You look back at your life and you go, wow, I am in a deeper place. I'm in a better place. I can see God's activity at work in and through my own personal life. It's changing me. And sometimes it's incrementally and slowly. Sometimes it's with that massive advance, normally through times of difficulty, that we have breakthrough. And we feel, we had that word called breakthrough, you know. But sometimes it's not. The breakthrough comes slowly and it's over time. And I think we experience that as a church as well. There are certain moments and seasons where you see things happen and you go, wow. Like, I think, you know, there was a few wow moments this year. Where we just went, went deep quickly, you know. Some of the moments of spontaneous worship that just rose up out of the voice of individuals, but collectively gathered in a room together where no one was necessarily leading other than people leading themselves into this. It felt like heaven was there, you know, that sort of thing. But I think that's just this whole constant understanding of part of this nature of being unveiled is to be, you know, totally surrendered, to be fully engaged, to be prioritizing his presence. And when we're hungry to receive all of that, when we're hungry in that place, then it's living in the knowledge of who we are in Christ and what he wants to do through us. And as we prioritize him, we see it happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's so exciting.
Man, just makes sense. I think I feel like I'm experiencing even more of when we do step in and make priority of his presence, especially during the two things we've talked about through prayer and worship. We see those two actions and disciplines almost, or opportunities really, as ways to get ourselves right before the Lord. And personally, but also corporately, right? Mm. But I feel like, man, when we come together in these corporate moments of prayer and worship, I feel like not only are we opening ourselves up to Him, I feel like that's when He forms us, you know, that's where He like actually takes us personally from glory to glory, like you were saying, where we actually like, when we surrender to Him, He's then willing to take us higher, take us further, grow us individually. So I feel like it's been awesome just, doing more of that, jumping in, prayer and worship, excited to see where that leads in the future.
Yeah, and I really like the idea of the gathering together is really important. Because we make priorities of the things that are the disciplines we need within our lives as individuals, because the world we live in is just so noisy with so many distractions and things going on around us. To follow the way of Jesus means that you actually have to be very intentional about doing that, an intentionality of being on task to be about His business and listening and engaging in His presence together. But when we do that corporately, there's just something really special about that. Mm. And I'm looking forward to that next year. That's kind of just a little insight to the year ahead, cool. is that one of the things we really want to celebrate is this gathering together, you know, whether it be in prayer and worship, whether it be in community, you know, whether it be in and around various things. There's power, I think, particularly in the environment we currently live in, of the world around us, where it's so easy to be isolated, connected but isolated, is to come together on stuff. It's just really, really important.
And it's almost like the more connection we have, the more... unfortunately, isolation we have. So the connection meaning, you know, it's almost
the
fake.
The digital connection.
Yeah, digital connection, fake connection. We know so many people. We see so many people, even from the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. But we are, often isolated by ourselves. So the corporate moments where we get off the screen and come together face to face, super, 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 super important.
Yeah, there's some wonderful things of technology that we love to use, just like we're doing now, to be able to help to connect with people and all of those things. But there's some things in the church you just can't do online, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't really replace it.
Communion's hard to do together online, you know. Yeah. Praying for one another can be done, but laying on of hands, that's hard, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the church, is that it's a group of people in a location who connect and relationally love on those people around them, and you can't replicate that. There's other ways of kind of meeting your needs, but it still doesn't have that complete others focus when there's not someone with you with their need, with their everything going on, that you can just love on them. I think it's been a really cool way that, for me, as I've been reflecting on the year and all the stuff that's been going on, there has been that level of intentionality for us, I think, as a community, and I think we're seeing fruit from that. And particularly people like Pastor Nick, who's just been kind of relentlessly leading us in the space of worship and that kind of thing. I think that's been a huge kind of area of fruitfulness for us. But what I've been encouraged by is that it's kind of easy to get familiar with all of this, particularly when you're in the leadership team, whether you're volunteer or paid staff, when you're in the space regularly, you kind of lose that. But God in his goodness has been bringing so many new people in, both new to our church community, but also new to faith at all.
Yeah.
And when you get to hear and see through their eyes and their experiences, not just the people who have no grid for God, who come in and go, I feel different here, but people who come in and who encounter the risen Christ and give their life to Him, when you start to hear it from their perspective, it kind of refreshes you. It's kind of like, that's how you kind of, for me, it's how I stay fresh, is to get near those new Christians and go, what's it like? Tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what you're seeing. And they just kind of come alive.
I once heard a stat that said you should have a church should be really extremely healthy if a third were brand new believers or seeking, you know, to find truth in Jesus, a third of growing believers and a third mature believers.
Cool.
And you thought, wow, that's a massive stat, because most churches are, you know, flip side of that.
Yeah,
But, you know, wow. And that's the thing. Yeah. You know, when people are coming to an encounter with God, whether it's because they're mature in their faith and they regularly encounter God, or whether it's they're growing in their faith and they for the first time have encountered God, or brand new to the faith and encountering God in that way, then you know, those stories are the things that are so exciting for all of us, you know, keep life in the family.
That's awesome. And man, imagine if we had that amount of new believers, you know, or that amount of growing disciples and that amount of mature Christians in the church family. What a healthy family. I love that it's from that place of intimacy and closeness and corporate, you know, worship is a beautiful example of that. It's from that place of, you know, pursuing God's presence that then we're sent and that we are then pushed out, not forcefully almost, but just like compelled, you know, as 2 Corinthians 5 would say, that we would be compelled by the love of Christ to go, to then reconcile the world to him.
I think what we're finding are these rhythms. I think we're finding we've almost stumbled into it intentionally going towards God, but has stumbled into a really beautiful rhythm of coming in and going out.
Yeah, awesome.
The coming in to be refreshed and intimate and close and pursuing God's presence, and the going out to be able to take him with us to the world around us, where he's already at work, but being aware and listening to what God is doing and what saying and wanting to use us to do further, you know.
I love that. In the midst of that kind of coming together, when you really seek him, there's this real kind of challenge that, like, you feel that burden, like you're saying, you're compelled, particularly because we've started to actually raise the value of, like, contending prayer, like actually, like, going after.
That's right.
Like, let's pray into this. Let's, you know, we know that God's got this on his heart. It might be reaching our local community. It might be the prodigals in our families. There's people who have walked away from their faith and their relationship with God, or just our city in general. Like, as you start to pray into those things and start to catch God's heart for those people around you, it drives you to that kind of contending prayer, which then, you know, the overflow of that is, I can't wait to go, you know, which is a totally different paradigm for what, you know, traditional evangelism or mission work, because most of it was, well, I remember growing up, it was mostly guilt-based. Like, you should be doing this. If you're not, you're probably not a good Christian.
And I think
maybe that was just my own guilty
conscience. No, I think you're right, you know. And or we've gone the missionary because they're called to go.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
So you've had this.
It's easy to
this,
just compartmentalize it with them. Someone.
Yeah.
Go away.
And, you know, we've been talking about it for a really long time, but I think just starting to see it gain momentum, and that is that we're all on that missional heart, missional lifestyle all the time. That's just life with Jesus, you know. And I think this year we've had a real, you know, I wrote an article in one of our Unveiled magazines, I think it was the spring edition, on what if we had an uncompromised yes? And it was my reflections back on the Live to Love conference. And what really stood out for me in that whole thing was these bunch of people who had an uncompromised yes for Jesus. And the article kind of challenges us to kind of go, well, you know, if we all had that uncompromised yes, right where we are right now, what would that look like for the kingdom? And I think that's really, really exciting. And we've had that flavor running through us this year, and then Richie again coming recently, Richie Salsa, who just, you know, just challenged our one conference, so our youth and young adults, but then the rest of the church as well, to be able to go, you know, we need to be, you know, declaring and demonstrating his presence everywhere we go, and have no fear of man about doing that. And so that being released, which is an essential part of our vision statement, because we're releasing empowered people, you know, who will declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. I just think we're finding this beautiful rhythm of coming in, going out. And I think, you know, next year is just a great opportunity for us to push further and develop deeper and grow in both of those things of coming in and of going out, and finding our way in which God wants to release us into, you know, the community around us all the time.
I think in all of that, what's been really exciting is that kind of, it's the old truth, it's scriptural truth, but it's kind of, we're discovering a new or a refreshed kind of paradigm of that. The way that Richie talked about it, or even the way that Heidi talked about it, like when we had her on the podcast, like there's just such an awareness of God's love and such an acceptance of God's love for them. And when you hear their stories, there's such an overwhelming encounter with him that they're not being something that they're not. They're not going out and kind of putting on a facade. Yep. They're not creating a space that's not true to who they are.
No.
But it's pure intentionality of wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm being truly myself, which means I'm going to truly tell you about the most important thing in my life.
That's right.
And just totally shifts that, and it's not guilt-based, and it's not, you know, we've talked a bit about it in our services, it's not transactional. I'm not trying to get something from them or give something to them in exchange. Like, it just entirely flips all of that. And, you know, it's probably to coin a well, not to coin, I didn't make it up, but a dirty phrase we've probably had over the years is that lifestyle evangelism. But really, like, it's going back to the core of what that really means, which is to have a life that is so full and so deeply encountering God's love every day that my whole life becomes a message. And I think that's exciting because it changes that. And like I said, you know, growing up it was the compulsion by guilt. Now it's an overflow of his love. And so as we encounter his presence, the natural result is that. And I think having that as an understanding for our whole community really shifts things.
Oh, God wants his glory on display through
that's
his
it.
People.
Yeah.
He really does. Yeah. You know, that's what he wants to see.
Yeah. And when we capture our identity, we don't get either too full of ourselves or too low and go, well, he would never use me, or look how amazing I am.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he just wants to use me because he loves me. Mm-hmm. But he wants you to know because he loves you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's a balance, right? It's not either, like these people we're talking about, they're not purely going out and sharing God's love by themselves in their own strength and, like you said, out of, you know, this compulsion or this forcefulness. They're coming into God's presence, receiving love themselves, and then going out.
Yeah.
And then once they're out, they're coming back in. It's this beautiful, like I said, this beautiful rhythm in, out.
And we're seeing it right now in our own people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not just mentioning those people. I think God's used those people through this year to be able to be catalysts to move us and shake us and challenge us and those sorts of things.
But and they were evangelists, but they're all in the church. They came to our church and talked to our Christian friends.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's not like they were out on the streets and they just said, come with me and I'll show you.
Yeah.
They came and taught us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're in our context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're seeing that now. You know, we've got a whole bunch of people right now doing just that, just what we talked about, just giving God the glory through their life. And we're hearing testimony of it. And it's as simple as some of our kids just living it out at school through to people who are got a real intentional focus in their workplace of where God's got them to be able to be, you know, his witness in those spaces through to those who are take up the challenge on a short-term basis, whether it be at Red Frogs this week down the Gold Coast and serving down there, or, you know, teams to Egypt and, you know, Thailand and India and all sorts of places, you know.
Even just people in our local nation but not in our local context going on our bush relief run, like just taking – hope and produce to, you know, farmers who are in
down
drought.
To Canberra as well.
Yep.
Crew going down to Canberra with IJM.
Yeah, and that's exciting because, you know, think about at the beginning of the year, I think it was right on Vision Sunday, I talked about, you know, wanting to see opportunity for us in every sphere, you know, including things like into having a voice into, you know, leaders in our country and over our city and things like that. And
so good.
And we're seeing that. Yeah. We're getting invitation to come and meet with them and talk with them and just share the heart. And that's out of reputation of what God's doing in and through his people in the community.
Like, we're not forcing ourselves into
heck
that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and it's growing in relationship too. And it's not coming out, again, it's not transactional, but it's like, hey, you know, you're made in God's image too.
Yeah.
We love you. How can we bless you? You know, it's like it's kind of picking up on that Genesis 12 idea that if you're one of God's people, your job is to bless the world.
Yeah,
right?
That's it. Blessed to be a blessing.
Yeah, so good. It's just been a crazy, like, full year and still so much happening. And I love that we have teams going, like, reaching out beyond us right through our Christmas break, right through into the new year. It's just going to be going on until we kind of kick this whole thing back into gear next year. And we're going to be taking a break, like Scott said at the start. We're going to have a little time off from the podcast just to go and actually see our friends and family for a moment. Go and maybe talk to people who don't yet know Jesus instead of sitting here talking to people who don't know Jesus. But for you, it can be a big break, and sometimes faith and holidays don't always mix. It is Christmas, but yes.
And holidays were originally holy days. Just for the record.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway.
But for you, what does it look like to kind of take yourself through you know, particularly for pastors, you hit Boxing Day and you're like, right, I'm checking out for a moment. I'm just taking a breath.
Yep.
What does it look like for you to stay close to the Lord in those times where the kind of external pressure of being in ministry drops? And what would you say to people maybe as they're going into the holidays?
Yeah, I think there needs to be an intentionality. If you just let everything drop, it will. While we take time with family over the summer to relax and rejuvenate and restore our minds, let that and our bodies, you know, from work pressure and all those sorts of things, let that be a time that rejuvenates your soul too. And it's perfect because if you're like me, then I crave the sort of time that is in nature. I love just restoring and refreshing my soul by spending time with God in the environment. So I'll try to get out camping and, you know, walk some mountains or ride some trails or...
Horses?
Yeah, no, I don't ride horses. I ride some trails and that sort of stuff, you know, so that I can just refresh my soul. But you've got to be intentional about it. And so keep up the normal daily disciplines of the things that have carried you through the busy times. Prayer, reading the Word, enjoying fellowship of other believers, and just be mindful that God is always at work. He's wanting to invite you into what He is already at work doing, so you would have the joy of experiencing Him at work through your life. So listen, what's He saying to you? Be intentional about that, and just, you know, yeah, do that. And so here's the hot tip. Don't miss church here at River Life during the month of January. Even December 29th, we kick off a new series.
Ooh.
It's going to be called Anchored, and it's looking at some of the spiritual disciplines of our life that are going to anchor us through the year ahead.
Great.
At which we will talk about the Holy Day. We're going to talk about Sabbath. We're going to talk about solitude and silence, Bible reading, prayer, fasting, or some things that are just really going to help us to, you know, when life gets hectic again, make sure you've got these anchors in your life.
And also, if you are around in Brisbane, and if you're not in Brisbane, if you're in Southeast Queensland, try and make your way to the citywide church city prayer gathering on the 5th of January. What time is it?
I'm pretty sure at 5 p.m. We run for about an hour or so. Awesome. And we're just going to be, you know, worshiping and praying right in the heart of our city.
King George Square. So good. And so many other churches are coming as well.
Heaps.
It's not just us.
No, not at all.
So that'll be really good. Come and pray and contend for God's move in our city.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I think if you take up the challenge to keep going, it does a few things. It keeps you in that healthy space with God, but it means that the start of next year isn't like this big effort to wind up into, okay, I've got to get back into church, got to get back into my faith. It actually means we can launch into 2020 and all that it has for us, kind of with momentum, with kind of ready to go preparedness. I mean, the friend of our house, David Wagner, was just with us a few weekends ago. And part of what he kind of felt like God was saying to us was, like last year, it's not going to slow down. It's just going to ramp up. Yep. And that's not just for paid people. It's just not for key volunteers. It's for the people of God who are pursuing Him because, God doesn't rest. He just wants us to stay close to Him.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Pastor John, for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. It's been awesome to chat with you guys again, and you guys are a real blessing to the ministry of our church, and I'm sure to so many who listen in from all around the place.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I noticed this week we've got a whole bunch of people who listen in Spain.
There you go.
There you go.
We don't even speak Spanish.
No. Don't know any words. Paella. Paella, as they would say. That's all I know.
You'll be ready for the sermon on fasting then.
By the time we get to
your only Spanish is food.
Thanks so much for coming in. We'll have you back next year.
Great.
That would be great. Yes. Well, that brings us to a close for today's episode and also for our podcast for 2019. Thank you for listening in. If this is your first episode, make sure you subscribe and you'll get notifications when we're back on in the new year. There may be some sneaky summer sessions that come out depending on how our negotiations go with some people. But stay subscribed, stay listening, share these around with any of your friends and family. We even have a series on spiritual discipline. So if you liked what Pastor John said, you want to kind of get ahead of the game, if you need something to get you through December before we get to the new year, you can go and listen to them. There'll be some links in the show notes. But actually, what we also want to say was a big thank you to all of those who've been listening, all those who help out behind the scenes, particularly to Tim Whittle, who is our editor.
Tim
does
Whittle.
A great job of making every episode
wonderful
sound
man.
Good. He's spectacular, and we're very thankful to you, Tim, so thank you for that. And we trust that you'll have a great, a relaxing and yet intentional Christmas and New Year, and we'll be back with a whole lot more in the new year.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.